Hey, I'm Michaela LaFrac, the host of Vermont Edition. The podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Enjoy. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela LaFrac. From takeaway boxes to makeup and all the way to rain jackets, PFAS are in just about everything. They're also known as forever chemicals. They're used in a lot of consumer products, and they take a very long time to break down. Extended exposure to PFAS has been linked to negative health effects. In May, Governor Phil Scott signed a new Vermont law that bans PFAS in cosmetics, feminine hygiene products like pads and tampons, and athletic turf. It also bans them in cookware textiles and most products for kids. Other states have also taken similar steps, but their rules haven't been as strict. This new law also contains a first-in-the-nation ban on phthalates, a type of chemical used in food packaging and production materials that can then leach into food and drinks. If you have questions about what products contain these so-called forever chemicals, or concerns about how a ban like Vermont's might affect local businesses, give us a call. 800-639-2211 is our number. You can also email us at vermontedition@vermontpublic.org. Here to talk us through it and answer your questions is Vermont Public's climate and environment reporter, Abigail Giles. Abigail, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Michaela.
All right, let's start broad here as we need to with a topic like this one. What are PFAS and broadly, what are they in?
Yeah, it's a great question. PFAS are these kind of tiny manufactured chemicals. They've been around for decades now, and they're hugely useful at helping to make manufactured goods resistant to water, to grease, to stains. They also are used to extend the longevity of products. So they're used in everything from like rugs to raincoats, as you said earlier, you know, pretty much anything that you've used that has waterproofing in it. And they're also in makeup, and they're certainly in things that have play a role in absorbency. So hence, you know, menstrual products and diapers and what have you. They're pretty insidious. There's been a longstanding concern about the impacts they have on human health. And essentially what we've really seen in the last couple of years is the federal government start to really get behind this and say, you know, virtually no level of exposure to these chemicals is safe for humans in drinking water, which I think has really triggered new focus on ways to get them out of our manufacturing stream. They stick around for a long time. They're very difficult to destroy, and they do accumulate in the human body. So it's definitely pretty concerning.
Ooh, yeah. So it sounds like they have a lot of uses, like the waterproofing that you brought up, but they also stick around for a long time. They can hurt our bodies and, I assume, the environment as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of states are trying to some pretty like labor-intensive and funding-intensive research to better understand the ways in which these chemicals are affecting the natural world as well. Vermont is actually in the process of looking at a water quality standard, so or a surface water standard for PFAS. So essentially, this would be sort of, you know, something we could use to evaluate whether a body of water is you know, contaminated or sort of undermined because there's too much PFAS there. But yes, essentially, one of the bigger concerns about these chemicals in Vermont is how they get into our drinking water. So, you know, we have one open landfill in the state. It's in the Northeast Kingdom, and all of our consumer goods go there when we're done with them. We know that from testing that there are some high levels of PFAS in the leachate from the landfill.
And this is the Coventry landfill that's run by Casella Waste
Exactly.
Systems.
Yeah, and Casella is working with the state on a pilot project to look at ways to sort of extract PFAS from that leachate. But absent that, it really goes straight through our municipal wastewater system, which isn't equipped right now to remove PFAS. So essentially, these chemicals are flowing freely into the Winooski River, into Lake Champlain. They also get into our waterways through us, through our homes, through the things that we flush away in our houses. So they're very insidious. And as they are emerging as a greater concern environmentally, this sort of expensive problem, I think you're seeing state lawmakers here say, let's see if we can move upstream and start to stem the flow of these chemicals into Vermont.
Okay, so what exactly is now banned in Vermont? What can't you sell?
Yeah, so one important sort of piece of this legislation is that much of what is banned kind of goes into effect in 2026. So okay. There's a little time for state government to kind of figure out how they're going to implement this, and also for manufacturers to be reached out to be notified, so that they can kind of get their ducks in a row. But essentially, Michaela, the big ones here are, banning PFAS in menstrual products and cosmetics. The bill also bans formaldehyde, phthalates, about 13 other chemicals.
Formaldehyde?
Yes.
I didn't even know to think that was in some of these products.
I know. It is sort of horrifying when you think about it. But also bans PFAS in incontinence products, in cookware, in textiles, in clothing, in diapers and kids products, and ultimately down the line in artificial turf as well. In terms of what makes this law particularly notable at the national level, this is, as far as our reporting has found, the first in the nation ban on phthalates, mercury, and formaldehyde in menstrual products. And it's also the first in the nation ban on PFAS in incontinence products. So this is at least, according to many advocates, one of the most comprehensive laws protecting, period and personal care products in the U.S. right now.
Okay. So eventually in 2026, people in Vermont will not be able to buy products that include all of these chemicals that you just mentioned. But so much of our commerce takes place online now. Will you still be able to, say, order them from Amazon?
That's a great question, Michaela. Something that's really interesting about this law and the way it works, it was structured such that enforcement is through the Consumer Protection Act, which is a pretty, it's a tool that is used in our legal system frequently to try to protect the public from chemical contaminants, in the environment and in goods. And essentially, where this law is a little bit different from some other policies we've seen in this arena is that it really targets the manufacturers and not retailers. So, for example, a pharmacy in Vermont wouldn't be the one who's responsible for sort of enforcing this. It's really about regulating manufacturers and saying you can't sell products that have intentionally added PFAS in them in Vermont. There are kind of a couple of mechanisms by which the Attorney General's office can enforce that. And one of them is actually by going to companies and requiring that they disclose what's in their products. We can walk through an example of what that would look like if that is helpful.
But, yeah, let's do it. And okay. Listeners, if you have questions about what we're talking about this new ban in Vermont on PFAS, forever chemicals, give us a call. Our number is 800-639-2211. Okay, Abigail, what's an example here?
Yeah, so I don't know if this jump to the top of your mind, but it did to mine. Waterproof mascara.
Ooh, yeah.
Great
love product.
We love it. a lot of them probably do have PFAS in them. It's waterproofing. So say there's a product that the Attorney General's office discovers, maybe another state has tested it, maybe some information has arisen or there's been a complaint that this product may exceed Vermont standards for PFAS. They can send a letter to the manufacturer, say maybe it's Maybelline or whoever that may be, and essentially say, we are concerned that your product violates this law. Can you tell us more about what's in it? Show us the evidence, the testing, and what have you. The Attorney General's office could potentially verify that testing. There's still some sort of like nitty-gritty to be worked out about how all that would work. And essentially, if it's found that there's PFAS in that product, they can do a number of things. They can say you're no longer allowed to sell your product in Vermont until you can demonstrate that you have an alternative that doesn't violate this law. They can, issue fines. They can, there's all sorts of penalties that can essentially be applied.
Okay. So let's still to figure out here. Have you heard anything from industry or business owners about this ban? Any positives or negatives coming out of that space?
You know, it's really interesting, Michaela. This was a policy that moved through the legislature with unanimous support, which is sort of rare for an environmental bill in Vermont, even. And one thing that was fascinating during the process, I think lawmakers spent a lot of time listening to industry and trying to get a sense for what timelines would be feasible for them. So that's where these dates have been kind of tweaked a lot and moved around. But, you know, it was very interesting hearing testimony, particularly from folks in like the outdoor industry, which is, of course, a big sector of our economy in Vermont. Mm-hmm. A lot of national brands, you know, that make raincoats and ski jackets are already starting to try to phase out PFAS from their products. And so, you know, this bill was at least intended to try to sort of honor what manufacturers can do on a timeline where they might be able to actually implement it. So broadly, I think there was support. I think, of course, there's some concern, but, you know, that was kind of what we heard, at least during the session.
Okay. And there are also, as you mentioned earlier, a number of new restrictions on PFAS at the federal level. I believe the last time you came on Vermont Edition, actually, we talked about it. It was right after the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, had issued these big changes that a lot of folks across the country were sort of waiting for to see what was going to happen at the federal level. You're actively doing reporting on the impact of those policy changes on Vermont. What kinds of questions are you looking into?
Yeah, Michaela, I think whenever there's a big policy change at the federal level, there's always this sort of like scramble as a reporter to try to say like, what does this mean for Vermont?
Five things that will change in Vermont.
And, you know, truth be told, I think regulators are still trying to sort a lot of that out as well. You know, PFAS were really not being regulated by the federal government at all for a long time. And Vermont was one of the states that kind of got out ahead and enforced its own regulations on these chemicals. And so, you know, I think now the federal government, the EPA, has sort of strengthened, created its own standards that are a little bit stricter in some cases than Vermont's regulations right now. And additionally, you know, these chemicals, two of them were listed under the federal Superfund program, which has all sorts of ramifications for communities that may have, you know, a lot of contamination. And so I think what we're seeing here is, you know, Vermont lawmakers really saying this is about to be a very expensive proposition for us, potentially, you know, cleaning up PFAS, you know, and from the sort of public interest perspective, you know, maybe it makes sense to now really double down on this idea of getting these chemicals out of our waste stream.
Well, Abigail, before we let you go, we just got a question to our inbox from Becca in Huntington, who writes, I recently learned that there are PFAS in many brands of dental floss and that people who use these brands have higher levels of PFAS in their bodies. Does the Vermont ban include dental floss?
Ooh, that's a great question. I just went back and read the law this morning, and my understanding of what the law considers to be personal care products, I would think dental floss would fall under that, but I would be happy to follow up about that because that's a really interesting question. And I do know that Becca is absolutely spot on. Dental floss is a place where there's certainly a lot of PFAS.
Okay, well, Becca, we'll get back to you with an exact answer on that. But Abigail, as you have said, these products are, or these chemicals are in so many products. It can feel like they're everywhere. So it's very interesting to hear about the steps going on to keep them out of our bodies and the environment at the state and the federal level. Vermont Public Climate and Environment reporter Abigail Giles, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Michaela. Good to be with you as always.